It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. What a beautiful day it's going to be. What a beautiful weekend it's going to be. We're all going to ditch our phones when we're done with this show, and we're going to put away politics for a couple days, and we're going to surround ourselves with friends and family and community and do things that aren't involved with any of this stuff. Now, remember those Tennessee reps who got bounced? One of them is Justin Jones. And he was blasting, there's an Indian guy from India, Indian guy, a Republican in Tennessee. And he apparently, this Democrat who got bounced, this black dude who got bounced, called him a brown face. here he was justifying it.
In those 53 years in America, I have never encountered a racial slur. I live a good life. Yet, you, on tape, call me a brown face. Yes, sir, it's on tape.
And what I told you was what you just exhibited. As the only member of their caucus who is not of the Caucasian persuasion, I said that you put a brown face on white supremacy.
These people are the worst people in the world. You can tell that poor old Indian dude was all, what's wrong with you people? But don't worry, Justin Jones. Remember, Dome is making her way down to Tennessee today to comfort them. So I guess you could say she's a comfort woman. Hi, Jesse. I like to ask this question, I hate to ask this question, but God forbid. What do you think an actual occupation by communist China would look like, considering the weakening of our military and the growing of theirs? What makes us think they would be even moderately civil to us? Maybe I've been watching too many World War II movies and documentaries, but I know what 1941 Germany did, sweeping through Eastern Europe, and also what Japan did to China in the late 30s. I hear almost no talk about this possibility, but alas, it is a possibility. Thank you for the podcast. I support your sponsors, and hopefully we'll be trying the world-famous Jesse Kelly burger later this week. Go get you a burger. All right. Let me put your mind at ease. There's not going to be a Chinese occupation of America. There's not going to be a foreign occupation of America in your lifetime, no matter how old you are. It's not humanly possible. Why? There are so many guns here and so much ammunition here that, could they go in and bomb New York City? Of course. L.A., of course. Could they bring in a big occupying army and take over parts of the country? Of course. America is vast. America is armed to the teeth. And it would simply whittle down an opposing military, no matter what size it is. It would whittle it down to nothing, and it would whittle it down to nothing very, very, very quickly. There's not going to be a military occupation of the United States of America. It's just not possible. Look at what happened. I could bring up Vietnam, but look what happened in Afghanistan when we came rolling in there with, gosh, everything. Reaper drones, satellites, green berets, the Marines, everybody, armored vehicles, Black Hawk helicopters, MRAPs. We had it all. We had it all. And in 20 years, we could never eradicate the Taliban out of that place. That's the Taliban with a bunch of old AK-47s. And I'm not disparaging them. They're actually decent fighters. But it doesn't work that way unless you're going to try to kill everyone. But they don't want to do that. You can't do that because then it puts you in quite a pickle. All you have left is ash before you, and you don't have anything to rule over. It's actually what China is going through right now with Taiwan. You know that that's not a foregone conclusion that China will be able to take Taiwan? Why? If we don't help, they're going to take Taiwan. But why? What are they struggling with so much? Well, they want Taiwan, but they want Taiwan as it currently sits. They want the infrastructure, the factories and the buildings and the plants and the things like that. But if you're going to take it, there's a good chance you're going to have to blow it all up. You're going to have to reduce it to ash. And then what did you gain? Okay, you got a big island of nothing. You destroy the whole thing. It's going to cost you. It's going to bankrupt the nation to try to rebuild the place. Genghis Khan's advantage when he was conquering, one of the great advantages he had was he didn't want to stay around. He didn't want to stay there. When the Mongols, this was after Genghis Khan, but when the Mongols took Baghdad, I believe it was his son. I may have that wrong, but I believe it was his son. Either way, maybe grandson. But when they took Baghdad, they had a great advantage. They don't care about the libraries. They don't care about this building or that building and the gardens and the whatever. No. We're just here to kill everyone and burn everything down. If you're doing that, then you can do it. But you cannot occupy America. It's vast. If they came from the east, you wouldn't get by the Mississippi. You wouldn't probably get to the Mississippi. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Rest easy. We're fine. Jesse, what size mortar did you fire when you were in the Marines? 81, 4 deuce, or 60 Mike? 60s. I carried the 60s. Great Oracle. Today I had a group presentation where I did 90% of the work, and one of my group members didn't even show up. After I prepared all his slides and materials for him, he had a feeling he wasn't going to do any work. Teacher handled it well, but there's always something that can and will go wrong in group projects, especially group presentations. Instead of asking you, the Oracle, to look into the future, I'd like to look into the past. I know you didn't go to community college for that long, but did you ever have any bad group projects and presentations? Do you condone them? Listen, thank you. Jesse doesn't do group projects. All right. What, Michael? Did you call that? Well, I was the bad guy? Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Most of the time I was a bad guy. I will tell you, I had a really specific strategy when it came to group projects. You always want to get in a group with one of the really intelligent dimes. Then what you do is you just pour charm on the hot dime. You just pour charm on her. You even take her out. You even score. What, Chris? I'm laying out a strategy, all right? You take her out, score a couple dates with her, and then you can blow off the group project, and she will not only let you, she will encourage you to do so because you have been such a charmer for her. I'd just pouring on the charm, flirting like you can't imagine, laughing, telling jokes, take her out. Oh, it worked like a charm every time. Now, if it was a group project that I actually cared about, I don't know that I ever had one of those. But if it was a group project that I actually cared about, I would just do it all myself. In general, I don't do group projects. I actually have a rule at work. I do not believe at all, if you want something done, I do not believe in sending out a mass email to everybody. Hey, everyone, someone needs to clean the coffee machine. No, that's weak and pathetic, and then everyone will pass the buck and assume someone else will do it. You just say, Michael, go clean the coffee machine. Michael, don't clean the coffee machine. It was just an example. But you give someone, one person, a specific task and make them go do it. Otherwise, everyone passes the buck and nothing ever gets done. But what happens is we live in this soft country now, and bosses don't want to be bosses. Managers don't want to be managers. They all want to be your best friend. So they'll see something. Hey, we need someone to type up a report. And they'll send out an email to 10 different people. Someone needs to type up a report. Why don't you tell somebody specific to do it, boss? If I actually care about it, I'll either do it myself or tell one person to do it. Jesse doesn't do group projects. And I don't want you to be like me. I was not right, but I was not a good student. Shut up, Chris. Remember, after graduating high school, before I joined the Marines, I went to Montana State University because everyone has to go to college, right? I believe that old garbage thing. At Montana State University, in the first semester, I got a 0.0 grade point average. 0.0. It was a very, very fun semester. But that's stupid. That's really not smart. It's a really, not only is it a waste of money, it's just a waste of life. It's a big reason I joined the Marines anyway. I didn't like the person I saw in the mirror very much. But I was not a good student. I, on top of all my other flaws, I really, really am bad at things I don't care about at all. If I care about something, I'll obsess on it and I'll dig in. But if I don't care about it, I'm just terrible at it. I won't let it occupy any of my mental space. And it's why I'm not a well-rounded person at all. I have a few very specific things I'm good at. And other than that, I'm just garbage. Just absolute garbage. But I have better slippers than you do. I have my pillow all season slippers. You know that these slippers are, Mike Lindell put in an absurd amount of research into these, which is why he was able to create a slipper you can wear indoor and outdoor. You can wear them all day and your feet don't hurt. Your knees don't hurt. My back doesn't hurt. My back will hurt occasionally if I wear crappy shoes, not with these slippers. And because he put so much research into them, they're normally $149.98. Right now, during the closeout sale, they're $25. They're $120 off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square, use the promo code Jesse, get the greatest slippers ever for $25. All right? MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. Or you can call 800-845-0544. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, reminding you you can download the entire show if you miss any of it on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Don't forget on iTunes to leave a 5-star rating and a review talking about how handsome I am. Someone's mad at Trump. We got wimpy Republicans. We got all kinds of stuff to get to. Let's get to this Trump one first. Dr. Kelly. Like you, I was extremely surprised and disappointed in how over half of Americans cowered during COVID. What's even more shocking now is all the hardcore Trump supporters who are probably about 95% anti-COVID jab just don't care at all that Trump won't even, at a minimum, acknowledge that handing everything over to Fauci was a horrible decision and the so-called vaccine doesn't work. It's mind-blowing to me that people just don't care or even get a, quote, I was wrong and it won't happen again from Trump. Why? I don't get it. I can't vote for that again without hearing he understands it can never happen again. Okay. Well, you know that my oldest son forgets things? I don't even know that you would call it irresponsibility, although that's certainly what we call it to him. But he forgets things. He'll forget his lunch at home. He had a field trip the other day because he made the honor roll. Gets it from his dad, but had an honor roll field trip the other day. And he was supposed to take his wallet because he was going to go buy candy and pizza where they were going. Forgot his wallet. Forgets his lunch. Forgets his track equipment. Forgets this. Forgets that. Forgets that. Do you know how much I would despise it if other people in my life were forgetting important things and making more work for me? But I don't care that he forgets things. I wish he didn't, but it really doesn't bother me that much. Why? Because I love him. I love him so much. I really don't care that he forgot his lunchbox. I wish he'd remember it, but it doesn't bother me. I laugh about it half the time. You know I've been very honest with you about my feelings about the primary. I do not know who I'm voting for yet. I will make my decision. I will tell you when I make my decision. I will not tell you who to vote for. That's not right. I'm not some person in charge of you. I have told you how I will make my decision. My issues are COVID lockdowns, vaccine stuff. I want to hear what you have to say about yourself. No matter who you are, I want to hear what you have to say about those lockdowns, Fauci, vaccine, and yourself. And I want to hear what you have to say about the FBI. Those issues are the issues I will vote on in the primary. Period. End of story. Those are my issues, and I've laid out for you many times the reason those are my issues. But those are my issues. That doesn't mean they're your issues, and that doesn't mean they should be your issues. Other people have different issues they vote on, and that's okay. there are so many people out there who love Donald Trump for this reason or that reason, whatever it is, foreign wars, the border, whatever the reason. There are people out there who have issues that aren't those issues, and they place other issues ahead of them. When it comes to the COVID stuff, many people on the right, many of Trump's supporters disagree with him a lot on it and have a major problem with how he screwed all that up. But they believe the other good parts of him outweigh that bad, and therefore they've chosen to prioritize different things than you have chosen to prioritize. And you know what? That's okay. As long as we're all moving in the same anti-communist direction, that's okay. I don't get frustrated with people who are voting for this person or that person for different reasons, as long as they're voting for reasons they think are best for the country. Now, if you're a moron, like we were talking about last night, and you're voting, I like his hair. Okay, you're just stupid. But if you're voting because you have other issues you prioritize, that's fine. At least you prioritize something. The problem is not the people who are prioritizing this or that. The problem is all the normie norms who don't prioritize anything. I saw someone sent me something on social media. I wish I could remember his or her name. I don't remember what it was. They put it up on social media. Anyway, they sent me something, and what the label of it was the average Republican. And it had some guy standing by a grill flipping burgers. And he's looking at you, basically. He's looking at the camera and said, oh man, that's crazy. Anyway, catch the game last night? And he said, this is the problem with 95% of Republicans. That's the person who's the problem. If it's Normie Norm, who doesn't care about anything. He doesn't have a candidate because he doesn't really care. He's just kind of floating along. I don't know. I don't really care. What, mass shooting? I don't know. What's they're collapsing the dollar? No big deal. It's football season. That guy's the problem, not the guy who favors Trump because you hate him or favors DeSantis because you hate him. These are our people. These are all our people. These are all salt of the earth people. And even when I make my choice, whether I vote for Trump or DeSantis in the primary, I'm not going to have any animosity towards the people who support the other guy. I may have real major issues with the candidate himself. And you know, as I've done several times, I'll be honest with you when I do. It's not like I'm going to hide that from you. But the people are not, the involved people who care, they're not where we should focus our frustration. And having a different set of priorities, I guarantee your list of priorities, it's different than mine. It probably is. And that's okay. It doesn't mean mine's better. It's just different. At least I care. At least you care. It's the guy who doesn't. He's the problem. That makes sense? Chris, did that make sense? That was brilliant, wasn't it? I knew it. I care enough to switch my cell phone company. I care enough about putting my money where my morals are that I'll take 10 minutes on the freaking phone so I don't send money to Communist Verizon every freaking month or AT&T or T-Mobile. Do you care enough to do that? Because the war will be fought in corporate America, too, with our dollars. We talk about shopping small, shopping local when possible. And when it comes to things like cell phone companies, man, that's one of the easiest ways to put your money where your morals are. You pick up the phone, you dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. You'll spend 10 minutes on the phone with Pure Talk. You'll be switched over. You keep your phone. You keep your number. By the way, you'll deal with a pleasant American who speaks English. It's glorious because they hire Americans. Pure Talk. CEO is a veteran. That's where your money needs to go. No more AT&T. Dial #250 right now and say Jesse Kelly. Switch.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And you know how much I don't like to brag, right? That's the last thing I would do is try to bring any attention to myself or brag about myself. But I was leaving the studio yesterday. Well, you know what?
Chris, I'm just going to tell him. So, you know, I've been hard on women drivers and things like that, and women voters and things like that. The wife will not drive my midlife crisis car. She doesn't want to drive it, says she's not used to it. She just wants to stay in her SUV. One day, she drives my midlife crisis car. We'd been out shooting pool at a sports bar, and I wasn't in bad shape or anything like that, but I'd had a few beers, and I don't take those chances. That's just stupid chances. She hadn't had anything, so, hey, let me drive. Yeah, of course, you drive. She drives home. We're on the way home. She says, hey, I want to stop and get the mail. She stops, pulls in towards the mailbox, and curbs the car. Curbs the car. I get out. I look at my wheel. It is scuffed. It's every woman driver stereotype in the world. She's horrified. I can't stop laughing. I mean, it's a scuff. It's not the end of the world. It's a car. It's okay. Not the end of the world. A few days ago, I get in my car. Air is low. Okay, no big deal. I don't know how to put air in the car. No big deal. So I drive down to the gas station, put the air in it. That's the sound it makes, Chris. Put the air in the car. Go to work. Get out of work. Get back in the car. Low again. Okay, crap. We got it. We clearly have a hole in the tire. Take it down to the tire shop. Say, hey, I got a nail or a screw in there somewhere. Get it out. They call me an hour later. Say, come down. I go down. I get the keys. They say, no, your tire's fine. No hole. I'm looking at them kind of side-eyed because this is twice I put air in it in 24 hours. But I say, oh, okay, well, you're the tire expert. I'm not. I take off. Go to work. Get out of work that night. Air's low again. Crap. Go put air in it. Take it back to the tire shop. And I say, fellas, I know you said there's no screw or no nail, and maybe that's the case. There's something wrong with my tire. He checks it out. The wheel that she curbed cracked. The tire itself is actually fine, but because there's a crack in the wheel, which is going to cost a fortune now to replace, because there's a crack in the wheel, I have to replace the whole thing. Well, that's a long way to get to this. I'm walking out to the tire shop, and I'm leaving our studio here. I'm walking to the tire shop. My car's in the tire shop, so I have to hoof it over there. And we got a Mexican cleaning lady downstairs, and she's cleaning the front door. This is the same Mexican cleaning lady, I will say, that has a really bad habit. Fellas, does this happen to you? Of her coming in the bathroom when you're in there using the bathroom? Both of you? She does it to both of you? Just reckless abandon. This woman's cleaning whatever she feels like cleaning, whenever she feels like cleaning it. Anyway, she's cleaning the front door, and I'm walking towards the front door. She pushes the door open, and I looked right at her, Chris, and hit her with a gracias. You could tell. I mean, you could tell she knew she's dealing with someone else who applauds. And it was a good moment for both of us. It just feels good being a man of culture. So gracias to you again, Mexican cleaning lady. Dear Shogun, when you rip into the red state Republicans, as spineless wimps they are, especially compared to their blue state brothers, I can't help but think of Cuban refugees. Not even the toughest and most committed Cold War anti-communists hate the communists as much as someone who has tried to survive under them. Red states have been able to maintain at least a degree of sanity and normalcy that enables their freedom-preferring citizens to believe their world isn't going to pieces around them, when that's a massive delusion, as the idea of cutting off your genitalia lets you change your gender. Blue states don't have that luxury and don't have that blinding them. What's truly sobering is when you realize how far we still have to fall and how bad things are going to get to break the delusion for the red states. This is, I'll tell you, the show does very well in Miami because of the Cuban population in Miami. And I get my emails full of Cubans all the time. Jesse, they're actually the most scary emails I get. Jesse, I escaped Cuba. It's here. Jesse, it's coming here. Why can't they see it? Jesse, I escaped this. Jesse, this is what my dad escaped. Jesse, I've seen this before. The real problem we have, because we were just going off earlier about waking up Normie Norm. The real problem with waking up Normie Norm is life is still really good here on an individual level. It was why you and I struggled so much to slap people awake when it came to COVID lockdowns. Well, they were watching Netflix. They were door-dashing pizzas. They were living life relatively comfortably and normally. The people who weren't, maybe that's you, the people who had relatives dying alone, the people who had businesses getting shuttered, children who had so much learning loss, all the suffering that came from those stupid lockdowns that did nothing. Well, they couldn't get through to Normie Norm. I've expressed my frustration before. It's why to this day, I'll be honest, I probably shouldn't. I need to work on this, but you know, I have a hard time with grudges. I hold so much resentment towards other people in the conservative media sphere, in radio and TV, because of how supportive they were about 15 days to slow the spread and then longer. They all told me to shut up. I didn't know what I was talking about. Jesse, everyone's going to die. And it wasn't even that that really made me mad. I had so many of them tell me, it's no big deal. It's a couple weeks. Well, yeah, turd. You get paid to write articles. Or you get paid to do a radio show, which you can do from home. Or you get paid to do TV or whatever the case may be. Normal people out there who work normal jobs don't have that. They don't have, oh, I'll just take the month off. People have bills to pay. People, and it was so disrespectful of the suffering of other people. I actually saw people I know, people I'm friends with, saying things on occasion like, it's just a mask. What's wrong with it? That's really what doomed us during COVID. You realize that, right? It was that it came, all those lockdowns, all that insanity, it came from a Republican president. And it came with so many Republican senators and congressmen and Republicans in the pundit sphere pushing the same things. Now, you can try to defend all those people by saying, well, they backed off earlier. Remember, the narrative is all that matters. Backing off once it's too late doesn't do us any good at all. As I've said many, many times, give me the first 48 hours of the narrative. I'll give you the next 48 years. I will decide how a huge portion of the country feels about something. We don't have 2 weeks for you to wake up and realize what's wrong. We don't have a month while you figure it out. By then, it's over. By then, the narrative is set and we're screwed. We don't have time anymore for Republican stupidity and weakness in the face of the communists forming a narrative. And look, we do this all the time and it drives me crazy. We do it all the time. It drives me absolutely insane. We are so behind and stupid and weak, so afraid of being yelled at by the media or afraid of this or afraid of that instead of standing up and speaking boldly on behalf of freedom. Locking down the country for a virus? The idea itself is laughable and insane. And anyone who ever brought it up should be out of a job and be a social pariah. It's insane. And yet, the entire world did it. The Western world's crazy to me. All right. Look, maybe there is something to the testosterone levels being the reason we are the way we are. We can't wake up Normie Norm because Normie Norm's T levels are half what they were 50 years ago. That's a real statistic. Half. Normie Norm's he just wants to grill out and watch the game and don't bother. What do you mean the city council race is coming? I don't care about that. Anyway, football's on. We playing fantasy this year? Maybe what he really needs is a male vitality stack from Chalk. 20% increase in his testosterone in 90 days. Maybe then Normie Norm can wake up and realize what's happening around him. Female vitality stack for the ladies, because there's plenty of female Normie Norms out there too. We have got to dig in. We have a long fight ahead of us. And if we can get these people who share our values to dig in and fight with us, we can have a lot more wins than we are getting right now. Get your neighbor one. No, just get yourself one, but tell him about it. CHOQ.com. They have endless natural herbal supplements. I need to bring up, I only talk about the male vitality stack because that's what I take. But they have all kinds of natural herbal supplements for whatever's ailing you. Ditch the big pharma. Natural herbal supplements. Go to CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off a subscription for the lifetime of the subscription. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, rolling through all these things. I still can't believe this one out of Kirby about Afghanistan. I didn't see any chaos.
And so for all this talk of chaos, I just didn't see it. Not from my perch. At one point during the evacuation, there was an aircraft taking off full of people, Americans and Afghans alike, every 48 minutes. And not one single mission was missed. So I'm sorry, I just won't buy the whole argument of chaos.
There were Afghanis falling from the planes like it was raining. We had 13 of our people blown up by a suicide bomber, and then we Reaper droned 10 innocent Afghanis in response to it. I don't see the chaos. Ooh, boy, we are in some trouble. And this bit about the equipment, man, what a cell phone this is.
Looking through this, it doesn't seem to address the $7 billion in military hardware and technology that was left in Afghanistan for the Taliban. Does the president take responsibility for leaving all or some of that?
You know who was responsible for that equipment? The Afghans. Because you know why? It was their equipment. First of all, I don't believe the number's accurate. But let's put the number aside, the $7 billion. There was very little, and I mean very little, U.S.-owned equipment or U.S.-operated equipment that we left when we left Afghanistan. I'm talking like some forklifts at the airport and some ladder vehicles, some fire trucks that we were using at the airport. But the helicopters that we left there, all disabled, so the Taliban couldn't get them flying again. Whatever ground vehicles like MRAPs or Humvees, they were all disabled at the airport. Everything else outside of that airport, the stuff that's at Bagram or you pick the base in Afghanistan, was all turned over in according with a very elaborate, deliberate, retrograde plan that the U.S. military put in place to turn over all that stuff.
We really gave the Taliban $7 billion in military equipment, and their excuse is, hey, it's not ours. We gave it to the Afghanis first, and they lost it. Let's get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Dear Dr. Sombreros Jesse, I'm trying to figure out why polygamy hasn't taken off. We now allow everything under the sun to be tolerated, but having more wives apparently has never caught on. I need to know why. Can you tell me? Well, look, even the most demonic, depraved society out there, even they don't want to have to put up with another wife. Jesse, with China making a play for the world's reserve currency, how do you see the U.S. dollar faring in the next several years? Let's talk about the dollar, because this actually is really, really important. It's probably the most important thing happening right now. We just don't talk about it enough. Because it's all these lofty economic things that they get confusing for me and confusing for you. But what's happening is this. You already know the world is the reserve currency. You get that. When China buys things from Brazil, they use the dollar. Well, not anymore. They just announced, but they've been using the dollar. Zimbabwe wants to buy something from Kenya. They're going to use the dollar. Why is that the case? Because the dollar has been so strong. The dollar is not strong. That's not the way I want to put it. The dollar's so reliable. That's always going to be there. So you can always use the dollar. So you trade in the dollar. Well, remember, China has a written plan to supplant the United States of America by the year 2050. They want to be number one. They know we're number one. They want to be number one. But it's almost impossible to achieve number one status unless your currency becomes the world's reserve currency. So they want their dollar to beat our dollar. Yes, I know their dollar isn't called a dollar, but that's not the point right now. They want to supplant the U.S. dollar. So it's so horrible. So as a response to a virus, we shut down an economy and then we printed $5-7 trillion. Just destroying the value of our dollar. And then to destroy it even further, they just kept passing $1 trillion bill after $1 trillion bill after $1 trillion bill under Republicans and Democrats, further weakening the dollar. Well, now we have a dollar that isn't quite as reliable. And it's not quite as reliable because we have debt. We have a national debt. And we have to pay interest on the debt. There's interest rates like any other debt, like your home loan, like your car loan. There's interest rates. Our national debt, we pay interest on it. Well, that interest rate goes up when all other interest rates go up too. It's not like that interest rate is frozen in place. It goes up. So the dollar's getting weaker. The interest is going up. And look, that alone would be a situation that is crisis situation. But when you factor in, they're not slowing down even a skosh when it comes to spending. Now we find ourselves in quite a pickle. Again, I'm gonna let the whole thing play. $50 trillion in debt. Ugh.
You're going to drive the debt from somewhere around $32 trillion up to about $50 trillion, correct?
Yes, but what I believe is the single most important metric for judging the fiscal stance of the country is real net interest as a share of GDP.
Okay. We have so are you concerned when you take the debt from $32 to $50 trillion? Are you concerned who's going to buy that debt? And also, at what rate they'll expect to be compensated for buying riskier and riskier debt? Are you concerned about that?
Well, if the net interest, real net interest cost of the debt remains low relative to GDP and we're on a sustainable fiscal...
But we're not on a sustainable path.
But we're not on a sustainable fiscal course. The just paying the interest on the debt alone as interest rates go up is going to start gobbling up every dime the federal government takes in. And they're not slowing down. So now I said all that because you asked, how do I see the dollar faring in the next years? I'm going to be honest with you. The dollar's not going to collapse tomorrow. The dollar is not going to stop becoming the world's reserve currency tomorrow. That's not going to happen. But it is going to happen. How many years that's going to take, I don't know. But it's going to happen. Look, a huge portion of the world would move off the dollar tomorrow. And the main reason they're not is there's not another currency out there they view as being as reliable. But if these BRICS nations, you know, China, India, if they get together and they come up with a currency of some kind or decide on a currency that the rest of the world decides is as reliable as the dollar, the world will drop us like a hot potato. When's that happen? I don't know. It won't be tomorrow. Are we still going to have the dollar as the world's reserve currency in 20 years? Probably not. So there. Sorry. Don't worry. We still have another hour of Ask Dr. Jesse questions. We're going to have a blast. Okay. Let's talk about your shooting. Because somebody wants to know about John Wick. Look, I'm not going to give any movie spoilers out, but I will say this. Having seen the new John Wick 4 twice, guarantee he practices with a Mantis X. What, Chris? I can tell. Look, I can tell when someone's been using his Mantis X at home with dry fire practice. I know John Wick's been through some of these Mantis X drills, and I know he's been getting the Mantis X feedback that allows him to shoot a bunch of bad guys in the head. MantisX.com. Not because I want you to ever shoot anyone in the head, but just in case a bunch of assassins try to kill you like they try to kill John Wick, you can fight them off if you've been practicing with your Mantis X or a home intruder or whatever the case may be. Go to MantisX.com and get yours today, all right? MantisX.com.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.